I'd like to center your thoughts this morning upon this glorious psalm, the Psalm 23. It's a psalm that is usually brought before us at funeral services, presenting Christ our shepherd, the one who gives contentment in life, in death, and indeed for all eternity. And there's much for our learning within this wonderful portion of Scripture. As familiarity often breeds content, I want you to look closely with me at this glorious psalm from the outset as we consider some wonderful truths together. The opening verse of this psalm says these wonderful words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And child of God, today, if we were to close our Bibles right now and to drive out of this car park, that word is enough for each and every one of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The psalmist David didn't pen, "The Lord is a shepherd," or "The Lord is the shepherd," but praise God, he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." He is independently and exclusively mine. He is my shepherd. He watches over me. He supplies my every need. He careth for me. Turn back with me, if you would, to Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is commonly known as the Psalm of the Cross. It commences with our Savior's cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And you see, friends, this morning, as we gather in this car park, it's not until we see the shepherd slain that we can appreciate and experience the shepherd's great love for his sheep here, as recorded for us in Psalm 23. Sadly, all too often, people are happy to claim the Lord as their shepherd as they go through difficult times, but they're not willing to accept him as Lord and Savior and King of their lives. The one who left the splendors of heaven, died there upon the cross, who was forsaken by his Father, making atonement for sin by the shedding of his precious blood. Don't misunderstand me today, folks. Despite this worldwide popularity of this particular Psalm 23, it is by no means every man's psalm. While it is true the Good Shepherd died for sinners, only those who are justified, saved by the grace of God, can truly say today, "The Lord is my shepherd." Many speak of this psalm as though it was written by David as a young shepherd boy. But I believe David was a man of maturity and experience. David is testifying, as it were, to personal experience of the leading and guiding and protecting hand of the shepherd throughout his life. And while this psalm may be loved and be read and enjoyed by many, I believe it is directed primarily to the saint of God who has been on the road for a while, a man or woman of maturity, one who knows what it is to battle through life, one who knows what it is to struggle with life's problems, to wrestle with God, one who knows what it is to be burdened down. I'm sure you're well versed with the many Hebrew compound names contained within the Old Testament, such as Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sakenyah, the Lord our righteousness. Well, as we consider this psalm today, I would like us to see clearly at the outset that the Lord is Jehovah God, the covenant making and covenant keeping God of Israel. And the compound names of God mentioned in the Old Testament reflect the contents of this psalm. If you look down there with me at the verse 1, we see there, "The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. I shall not want, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider," referenced over in Genesis 22 and verse 14. And then into verse 2, "He leadeth me beside still waters, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace," Judges 6 and 24. And then into verse 3, "He restoreth my soul," Jehovah Rophi, "the Lord who heals," Exodus 15 and 26. And also there in the verse 3, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, Jehovah Shekinu, the Lord our righteousness. Then into verse 4, the Lord, thou art with me, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And that's referenced over in Ezekiel 48 and 35. Into verse 5, then thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Thou anointest my head with oil, Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. And finally there in the verse 6, Jehovah El Elyon, the Lord Most High. And you know, as we consider this well-known psalm this morning, I trust you will be blessed even in your own soul today. I want us to meditate for a little time on the psalm of the great shepherd. Note with me those who are privileged. Those who are privileged. Who are the privileged spoken of here in Psalm 23? Surely it is his sheep, the elect of God. They are privileged people. And there is no greater privilege than to be a sheep of the great shepherd. It is interesting to note that David writes this psalm from the perspective of a sheep. You could be forgiven for thinking that he would have written it as a shepherd of a shepherd. But no, he has written it as a sheep. He says in the opening line, as we have read already, the Lord is my shepherd. And so often, as Christians with the best will in the world, while trying to encourage someone, we just lumber them with personal experiences. We just need to point them to the shepherd. We need to encourage them to look to the shepherd. Sheep are mentioned in the Bible over 200 times. And of all the animals in the world today, we could have been referred to. We have been referred to here in this portion of Scripture as sheep. Sheep are known as stubborn animals. And yet, that is what we are called in Scripture. A sheep is hard to teach, hard to control, hard to handle. Yet, the Lord calls his people sheep. And while there is much to learn and to love about sheep, anyone involved in the business of sheep farming know that sheep are hard work. And brethren and sisters, though we might not like it, do we not have to admit before God this morning, the Lord got it right when he called us sheep. We, even as his children at times, can be hard work. Sheep don't lie down when they're hungry. Sheep don't drink from fast flowing rivers. And I'm sure you're all familiar here with that well-known saying, that so-and-so is easier led than they are driven. And friends, so it is with us as his sheep. So much so we can be led away down a wrong path, led astray by the evils even of this present day. Hebrews 13 and 9 we read over there, of be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. But not only, friend, is a sheep a stubborn animal. In the Holy Land especially, sheep are a dirty and unclean animal. And after the rainy season, there is plenty of supply of grass for grazing. But when it gets grazed down, the wool becomes dusty and the wool gets matted and dirty. And friends, this morning, just as a sheep gets dirty, so it can be of the heart of the child of God. We can come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And at that time we can look back and how excited and exuberant and enthusiastic we were, energetic even in the service of the Lord. But then over time the pressures and the busyness of life crept in. The devil starts filling our lives with all sorts of things, perhaps even all sorts of people. Brings people into our lives to keep us from God. The devil seeks to devastate the Christian. Christian young people. Christian marriages. Christian families. O child of God, today I exhort you to keep your eyes fixed upon the Lord, your Savior, the Shepherd. Many today fall back as a result of the subtleness of Satan. But praise God, today when you're a child of the King, you'll never find peace or comfort in sin. Paul writes this in Romans 7 and 19, "The good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." And even as God's children, we have a sinful heart. We sin daily in thought, word, and in deed. We don't teach sinless perfection. We seek to be sanctified rather day by day, looking forward to that wonderful day when we meet our blessed Savior face to face. And then we will be glorified and without sin. We are guilty not only of sins of commission, but sins of omission. But not only are sheep a stubborn and an unclean animal, but they are also defenseless. Defenseless. And today, if we are left to ourselves, we are defenseless. There was no sheep wire in the Holy Land. There were no fences in those days. The sheep were defenseless. The land was mountainous, rough, and dangerous. They were always at risk of predators, such as wild animals and snakes. And we as sheep of the shepherd are in need of his constant protection, day by day and indeed hour by hour. But nonetheless, we should be praising God today that as a child of the King, we're not referred to as some wild animal, but rather referred to as sheep. An animal, despite the fact of being stubborn and unclean, defenseless, it is an animal of great worth. In the Bible times, the shepherd put great value upon his sheep. Have you grasped that wonderful fact this morning, even as you sit in this car park today? Oh, you mightn't feel of any great importance, but you're of great worth to the Lord Jesus Christ. The sheep was of great worth to the shepherd. Despite being referred to as sheep in the Bible, as stubborn, sinful, defenseless, we can say with the psalmist David, with all certainty and assurance, as he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We're of great value and worth to the Lord. And how it should thrill our hearts to consider that we're chosen in Christ even before the foundation of the world. Guilty, vile, wretched, wicked sinners such as us, even yet chosen in Christ. What a humbling thought this morning. What a humbling truth even to consider. And friends, it should thrill your soul today that you're found in Christ, saved for time and for God's eternity. We have noticed those who are privileged, but however, consider with me today the person who is in view. The person who is. Who is this person in view? Yes, it is the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn across with me, if you would, over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. And the verse 20. Hebrews 13 and the verse 20. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Lord Jesus Christ is that shepherd. The shepherd who satisfies. You know, the Eastern shepherds were with the sheep at all times. And we have seen already how the sheep were stubborn, how they wouldn't lay down when they were hungry, they wouldn't drink from the fast-flowing rivers. So what did the shepherd do? He led them through the mountain to the fresh pastures till they had got their fill and were satisfied. Verse 2, "He maketh me." If there were any fast-flowing rivers, he created there a dam within them, within the river, to create that area of calm, still water in which the sheep could drink from. The shepherd saw to it that the sheep had feed, water, and rest. The shepherd saw to it that the sheep were satisfied. In the words of the hymn writer, "Now none but Christ can satisfy. No other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me The Lord our great shepherd satisfies. Psalm 84 verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. When God's people follow the shepherd, they will lack nothing of the necessities of life. Philippians 4 and 19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. The person of Christ, the great shepherd, not only satisfies, but he also sanctifies. The shepherds of the day not only met the basic daily needs of feed and water, but the shepherd was absolutely everything to the sheep. He was the vet if the sheep got injured. He was the one that dressed the wounds. If there was a problem at the lambing, he was there to help. If they got sick, he was there. If he strayed, he was there. He rescued them. Why? Because he loves his sheep. He wants the best for them. He doesn't want them suffering any ailments or to be in pain or discomfort. And if they do, he was there with them. He wants them to be pure and spotless. He desired for them to be profitable, to go on. In the life of the believer, justification is an act, a once and for all act. Yet sanctification is that work. That process of sanctification is ongoing. And yes, we are prone to fail, prone to wander, prone to let the Lord down, sin and fall short very often of the mark. But the hymn writer puts it so aptly, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. But praise God, we can say with the Apostle Paul in the Epistle of the Romans chapter 8, therefore there is no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. As believers today, we can thank God that once we are justified by his grace, that our sins past, present, and future are covered by his precious blood. He sanctifies us daily. He continues to do so even until we reach our eternal home. But not only do we have a great shepherd who satisfies our every need, who sanctifies us day by day, we have a shepherd who sustains us. Psalm 23, in that wonderful opening line, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside still waters. Think over in John 10 and verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. How does the shepherd look out for us, dear men and women and young people, even this morning? How does he prove his love for his sheep? He goes before us. We must be honest, there are things which God allows to befall his children that we may never understand this side of eternity. Just as the Savior said to Peter, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Luther once said, I know not the way God leads me, but well do I know my guide. Oh friend, you don't know what lies ahead of you. If we're to suggest even last year that we would be meeting in a fashion such as this, who would have believed it? But tell me today, how well do you know the Lord? How well do you know your guide? Do you know the shepherd this morning? We can take great comfort, those who do, in the knowledge that the Lord is sovereign and in control. He has a providential plan and a purpose for every one of his sheep. You ask me, Simon, how do you know that? How do you know? Verse 2 of our text, look down at them, those three words, and read them and digest them. He leadeth me. That's how I know. You know, many suggest wrongly that we wander through life aimlessly, but nothing, my friend, could be further from the truth. No, if you're a child of God this morning, if you're born again by the precious blood of our Savior, he promises, he leadeth me. You know, when we look back to the originals, the paths spoken of here are not just any paths in the verse 3. They are well-worn paths. And the path is known to the shepherd. The way ahead, yes, it may be unknown to us. But the path ahead is known to the shepherd. We can rejoice together today as believers with all assurance and knowledge that despite all difficulties and discouragements that we may face along life's journey, He goes before us. He leadeth me. And we just need to follow on. John 10:27, My sheep hear my voice, I know them. And what do? They follow me. What comfort the child of God has today to know that you are led by the Lord, our great shepherd. The word of the Lord to the believer is inexhaustible. We pray for showers of blessing, rivers to swim in. Well, the psalmist is warming our hearts today as he speaks here of the lush green pastures to feed upon and to lie in. The shepherd led the sheep on to pastures where there was more than enough to feed upon, to satisfy them, where they could lie down and take rest. And believer today, the precious word of God gives enough sustenance to feed upon until our hearts are satisfied. We can return to it time and time again. We can feed upon it more and more. It is inexhaustible. We can feed until we are satisfied and then rest upon the promises of God contained therein. Oh, the storm may be raging in your heart and life today, but dear child of God, take comfort from His precious word. He is working away, gently leading you through the valley. And the green pastures, my friend, are just ahead and will soon be within view. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, will sustain us. I'm reminded of the little girl who her mommy was trying to teach her Psalm 23. And in the process of her learning, she misquoted it this way. She said, "The Lord is my shepherd. What more shall I need?" And surely, friend, today, so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. If He is our shepherd, what more shall we need? In the Psalm 22 we have referred to already, the Psalm of the Cross speaks of the past, the good shepherd who died for His sheep. Psalm 23, which we have meditated on for a time this morning, pictures the great shepherd presently caring for His sheep. But Psalm 24 pictures the chief shepherd in the future who will come again to receive His sheep. We have spoken much of the privileged sheep and the person of the great shepherd. But however, in Israel in the mountains, there are flocks of sheep, each with their shepherd. And within each flock, there are goats running wild amongst the sheep. And the Bible tells us clearly there are two different kinds of people, described in many different ways. We have the saved and the lost, the regenerate and the unregenerate, those who are born again and those who are not, or as Matthew records in his gospel, the sheep and the goats. Matthew 25:33, we read there, "He shall set the sheep upon His right hand and the goats upon His left." And friends, today the judgment day is coming, and the goats may run amongst the sheep for a lifetime, but there is a day of separation coming, when the shepherd calls those who are a sheep to Himself. And the goats will be forever lost. Tell me, are you ready for that day? It's a joy for me to remind you that you can be. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. The day of separation is approaching. But tell me, friend, this morning, are you saved? Are you under the care of this shepherd, which is spoken of here in Psalm 23? We've seen today already that it's a privilege to be a sheep of the great shepherd. Tell me, are you under His care this morning? I trust that you are. I trust the Lord will bless His word even to your heart today. If I can be of any help to you, if you want to speak with me, wait while others leave the car park. I can't save you, but I'm more than happy to point you even to one who can. Even adhering to all the social distancing requirements that are expected of us. However, if the Lord has been speaking to you this morning, I urge you, you ought not to put it off any longer, but come to Christ today. Let's just bow as we close our meeting in prayer this morning. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we praise thee and thank thee for the Good Shepherd. That Good Shepherd that came and dwelt amongst men, died on a cross at Calvary for sinners such as us even today. We thank thee, Lord, that it didn't end there. He ascended up into heaven. He rose again the third day. He ascended up into heaven. He is seated even at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for his people. He sent that other comforter to be with his people here on earth. And Father, how there are so many today can look forward to that day of great reunion in that heavenly land, when they'll see their blessed Savior face to face in a future day. They'll see that chief shepherd. Great reunion with loved ones that has gone before. But surely, Lord, there are those today in this car park, perhaps a boy or girl or a young person, someone a little older, maybe knows this psalm off by heart, can recite it verbatim, but yet they know not the shepherd. O Lord, we pray you'll strive with such this morning. Speak to hearts, we pray of thee. Bless us now, separate us, take us to our homes in safety. Bring us back again in thy will for the gospel service later on in this day. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.